Well, 7 days ago, when we last gathered for Sunday worship, we heard the story of how the Israelites were delivered through the Red Sea to safety, how they were able to escape the onslaught of the Egyptian army, and their enemies were crushed and their bodies thrown up on the shore. The lectionary this week has brought us 4 weeks into the future. I remember what I was doing 4 weeks ago. It was late August, and I had returned from England. I'd spent some time with my family in Rockport and then in Maine. And then I came back here to Lebanon. I was sorting through books and papers and other things I picked up in Oxford. I probably can't tell you exactly what I did at every minute of the day, but I have a pretty good sense of what I was up to a month ago. What about you? Do you remember what you were doing a month ago? The odds are yes. Well, what about the Israelites? 4 weeks before this week's reading, when we find them in the wilderness of Zin, they were being delivered from slavery. And God was working amazing miracles, splitting the sea, vanquishing their enemies. And all of this was on the heels of the plagues. And they're gathering up the riches of the Egyptians and making the transition to freedom. They should be excited. They should be grateful. But instead, we find them grumbling. There they are in the desert, just 4 weeks after they had been brought out of Egypt, asking, "Is this it? Is this all? We could have stayed back in Egypt. We could have stayed by the flesh pots where there's lots of bread, and God could have killed us. But instead, Moses, you brought us here into the wilderness to die." What a bunch of ingrates. What a bunch of clueless people. Well, there's a lot to pick apart in this lesson. We'll start with the first part and work our way through. The first thing I want to focus on are the responses of God and Moses to the complaining of the people. What does God do? He hears them. They complain that they don't have enough food, and he decides to make provision for them. He's going to give them quails. He's going to give them bread for 6 days. And there's a little bit of a hitch. On the sixth day, he'll give them a double portion. He wants to see if they'll follow his instructions. Now, I just want you to set that aside for a moment, because we're going to come back to it. But here we have God, who has every right to be ticked off with the Israelites, providing for them. He's caring for them. He's meeting their needs. He's being gracious and generous. And what about Moses? Moses, you will recall, did not want this job. Moses would have been happy to stay as a shepherd, taking care of his flocks, being far removed from the hubbub and politics, but God had called him. God had called him to lead the children of Israel to a new life, and he heeded that call. And he knew who was responsible for all that had been done. And so when Moses says to the people that you are going to see the glory of the Lord and you are going to be fed by him, and if you've got any complaints, who are we? Talk to God. He's not punting the ball. He's not shifting his responsibility. He's pointing to the gracious God who has provided for his people. Keep all of that in mind as we work our way through the passage. We find ourselves now with an interesting development. Moses has told the people that God's going to present himself in a cloud, and there they will see his glory. And they're not to look towards the east, or to the west, and to Egypt and the past, but they're to look to the east, to the future, in the wilderness. The unknown is where they're to go, and that is where the promise is to be found. And so the people look, and Moses talks to Aaron, and he has them gather the congregation. And this is one of the few times in Scripture this phrase is used, one of the earliest ones referring to Israel. They're a congregation. They're a people brought together. They're not a ragtag band of slaves, a bunch of losers on the run. These are God's people being formed into something new. And then Moses is given the word, and he shares it with the people. Once again, he tells them how they'll be provided with quails at night and bread in the morning. Now, we then get a description about the bread. And it's interesting, and probably some of you have heard this, but scholars have gone to some lengths to try to come up with explanations rooted in nature to explain how the birds found their way to the people and how the manna appeared. And it's all interesting, but I never found anybody spending time talking about the fact that God has made his glory known in this cloud. There's a miracle taking place here, and it's a theophany. And God reveals himself to us in many different ways. His power through nature and through miracle. And we see it occurring here. Now, when this bread appears, how do the people respond? What is it? No thank you, no sense of wonder, but they're looking at it, and you can imagine they're thinking, we expected a loaf of bread. And instead, there's this stuff. Right? We all know bread comes in cellophane, and it's pre-sliced, and it looks a certain way. Mind you, we probably have more options now than when we were children, but we know what bread should look like. And this time, it didn't. Now, there are times in life when God will provide for us and be with us, and we won't like what he's doing. Indeed, we won't even recognize it. In fact, in times of need, and crisis and struggle, it can be that much harder for us to recognize when God is with us. I remember when I was 13 and my father died, for a long time, I was angry with God, and I really didn't have much use for him. And I spent a number of years estranged from organized religion. I had better things to do on Sunday morning. I could read the paper, drink some coffee, go for a walk, relax. But slowly but surely, as I got older, and I traveled more ground, and I had more experiences, and I met more people, I found myself coming back into contact with God, who was never far away. In fact, God had been there all the time, but I hadn't been able to see him. Have you had an experience like that? Does someone you know have that kind of experience? We don't see the people that God is working through. And it is people that God reaches through to reach us. Think about how God has made himself known in Scripture to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Sarah, to Joseph, to Moses. What's he doing here? He's forging a relationship. And anybody who's engaged in a relationship knows that that can be tough. There'll be moments of great joy and struggle. There'll be moments when we argue, when we rant. There'll be moments of gratitude. There'll be moments of confession. And there'll be moments when we are called to trust one another. You remember when I noted before that God wanted to see if the people would listen to his instructions? He was looking to see if they would trust him, just as he already has trusted them. God called on the children of Israel to be his people. He chose them. He trusted in them. Now we know that the relationship between God and Israel will be a long and stormy one. And indeed, God's patience will be tried. But remember, when push comes to shove and he's ready to wipe them out, he's talked out of it by Moses. And he keeps the promise to their children, bringing them into the land of Israel. God came to us in Jesus so we would know him. And when God left us in Jesus, he gave us the gift of the church, the congregation. And we can look to one another and we can see here the people who will walk with us and care for us and heal us. Maybe we're in need of some job advice. There are people here we can talk to, we can get tips from, we can turn to for leads. Maybe somebody in our family is ill. There are people here who will care for them and care for us, provide meals, references with the doctor. Maybe we're lonely. It's in the church that we can find some companionship and someone to walk part of the way with us. The church isn't perfect, but the church is the vehicle that God has chosen to drive, and we're in it with him. Sometimes God provides us with things we don't know we need. Sometimes God provides us with things we don't want. But God is usually providing us with what will benefit us, even if we don't recognize it. I don't know about you, but there are times when I would love to win the lottery. I'd be able to pay off all of my bills at one moment, make all my problems go away. But would that really solve them? No. My issues with money would still exist. My relationships would be complicated. My values would probably go out the window. So I don't win the lottery. And there are other ways that I can think about dealing with financial challenges. What about you? What would you like to happen that hasn't happened and might be a blessing? When have you been given manna when you really wanted a loaf of Klinger's bread? And when has that been the right thing? Is that all we might ask? Yes, God says. It's all you need.